Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hey, everyone. Happy Friday. Kevin Cruz here. Welcome to another edition of Fan Mail Friday of the LeadX Leadership Show. How was your week? I hope you had a great week. My three to thrive, the things I think about each morning, try to balance my life with, my three to thrive are health, wealth, and relationships. And even though work continues to be the old quote unquote crazy busy, all good stuff, I'm feeling good. Like I'm keeping things in balance. I had a great week relationship wise with my kids. I was able to have some nice deep talks over early morning breakfast with my daughter, Natalie. She's the one who, if you've been following the saga, she's trying to pick which school she's going to go to next year, which college. And she made up her mind. I can finally announce she will be a Fordham Ram. She's going to be going to Fordham in New York City. Despite the food situation and the mice in the dorms and other things that other charming things Fordham has going for it, my daughter Natalie is going to study film, wants to be in New York City, and it's the right fit for her. And thanks for all the emails with ideas and questions and stuff about my daughter's choice. And, my son Owen, who I often take him to and watch him at sporting events and talk to him about school, you know, as he's become a teenage boy, there's less things that we do together. And he's discovered this old reality show. It's on the History Channel called Alone, where it's some kind of like contest. They drop 10 people off on Vancouver Island, each of them alone. And whoever can live in the wild the longest, you know, wins a bunch of money. And I've been having a good time. We've been binge watching that on the couch together and talking even about the different personalities and strategies and laughing along the way, having a good time. And even my oldest daughter, who is finishing her sophomore year at college, been helping her with her resume because she's trying to find an internship in marketing or PR. If you got any hookups in the Philadelphia area, let me know. So just talking to her about career stuff and resume. And I'm just really feeling very connected to my kids, which is makes me so happy. So how did you do this week with your health? How did you do this week with your wealth? Are you making progress on your most important tasks at work? How are you doing with your relationships, with your kids, with your parents, with your significant other? I hope you had a good week. So if you're listening to this on the day it's actually released, this episode, I am landing right now from an overnight, a red eye from Los Angeles back to Philly. I did, you know, my third talk in probably 6 weeks, 7 weeks on artificial intelligence and the future of human resources, just having a blast with that group. Now done talks all over the country with them, literally, you know, coast to coast, got a couple more lined up. I am so old, I never take red eyes. Like, I hate them because I don't sleep on the plane. I'm usually too tired overnight to be working on the plane, but then my next day is shot, so I don't get work done that next day. So I would rather, you know, sleep in a hotel room, get up super early, pound some coffee, and then work on the flight home. But I've got a dinner lined up, social dinner that lined up, and I just couldn't pull it off, so I've got to do this red eye, and hopefully it went well. Today is Fan Mail Friday. Here's an email right off the bat early in our show. This was really nice. Someone sent me this. I found your podcast about 2 weeks ago, and you've literally made me have the best mornings for the past 2 weeks I've ever had. I used to struggle to get up and be productive as I hate my job. I'd roll out of bed at 8:30, 8:40, and I needed to be work at 8:50. Sounds like it's kind of close to me. The weekends I'd regularly sleep past 12 p.m., Since listening to your podcast, I've been getting up consistently at 6:30 a.m., pretty good to start, going to the gym, eating better, and having the best time. My boss has noticed, and I'm finding work a bit better, too. I just love to get that, and what a great testimonial to, you know, they're not my 15 secrets, but the book I wrote 15 Secrets Successful People Know About Time Management, you know, is based on all these interviews with millionaires and billionaires and Olympians and straight A students. And it's just great to get testimonial emails back like that, that people are finding some value in them. Now, in a minute, I'm going to answer a reader question or two. But first, I want to remind you, please take 1 minute. Visit iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening to this podcast and just leave a quick rating or review. That's the currency of the podcast world. That's what's going to get us, our show, promoted, and we will find new listeners. And also, what are you doing to train the managers in your company? Are your managers engaging their team members? And we know from Gallup, managers account for 70% of the variance in engagement. So if you have 10 or more people who report to you, who you're responsible for their training, shoot an email to me personally, kevin@leadx.org. I want to talk to you about signing your managers up for the LeadX Academy so they can become great bosses and they can engage their team members. Now, I've got a weird random rant this week, which I guess is why we call them random rants. It's not really a rant, but this is on my mind. All right, I'm gonna throw a word out to you. Hardeen. Now, most of you is like, what? Did he just say sardine? Did he say hard of hearing? No, I said Hardeen. And so unless you're a geeky fan of magic, you don't know who Hardeen is, or I should say was. But I'm going to give you another name, and I'll bet you'll know immediately who I'm talking about. Houdini. Yep, Harry Houdini. You know, escape artist, upside down, torture chamber, you know, handcuff king, breaks out of handcuffs. Houdini. So here's what I've been thinking about lately. Why do all of us know who Houdini was? Houdini's a household word around the world. Everybody knows Houdini. But why don't we know Hardeen? After all, Hardeen was Houdini's brother. In fact, they started out together. They were in a magic show together. And Hardeen continued on a very successful career as a magician and as an escape artist. In fact, many people thought he was as good as Houdini was. There's records, letters of Hardeen explaining escape tricks and stage technique to his brother Houdini. So Hardeen started out with Houdini at the same time in magic. He was as skilled as Houdini was. So why do we know Houdini and no one's ever heard of Hardeen? And a similar question I've been thinking about is, why was Houdini at his lowest point? He was almost going to give up magic. And then 1 year later, he was famous in Europe and soon to be famous around the world. He went from his lowest point of being dead broke and anonymous. And then in 1 year, he became Houdini. And, you know, when I talk about the low point, this is also baffles me. He had already been a successful magician, escape artist for a lot of years, you know, touring. Back then it was vaudeville shows. It was like these gypsy caravans. It was, you know, all these different things, carnivals, you know, magicians would travel with carnivals with their shows. He had already been putting all that time in. He was already doing his escapes. Like, it wasn't like he knew everything he was going to know. Like, he had that talent. And yet, you know, he went from show to show. He had a wife, you know, Bess. They weren't making any money. And he was about ready to give up. And in desperation for money, he ran ads. He was trying to sell his act. He would have sold all of his secrets and his act to anybody that would buy them. And nobody expressed interest. Nobody wanted to buy the rights to Harry Houdini's act. And out of desperation, again, for money, he wrote to some of the big name magicians at the time and said, hey, can I apprentice for you? Will you just take me on as your apprentice, as your assistant? Get me out of this circus racket. And he was turned down. Nobody wanted Harry Houdini to be their assistant. Is this crazy? No magician was even interested in buying his secrets. No magician even wanted him as an assistant. And he couldn't make enough money touring with his show. The reason why, this is a little bit of an aside, even on that, on this weird story, is that does fascinate me. Why don't people take advantage of the greats when they can get to them? You know, and I think I was just different. Like, from a teen on, if I could ever get minutes with a self-made millionaire, a CEO, an entrepreneur, anyone that, you know, I admired their success or their career, I would take it. I mean, if a self-made millionaire had offered, said like, hey, if anybody wants to come and have dinner with me, I will give you a career advice. I'll give you business advice. I'll give you every secret. I will answer all of your questions. I mean, I don't care how young I was, how old I was. I don't care if I had any money. I mean, I would hop a train to get to that city. I mean, I would hitchhike to get to that city. I would beg the person to wait for me to gather money to come have dinner with them. And yet I see successful people all the time offer, hey, come meet me at this book signing, at this conversation, at this whatever, or pay a small amount of money to come have dinner with me. And people don't do it. And yet they claim they want to be a New York Times bestselling author. They want to be a self-made millionaire. They want to be a successful entrepreneur. They want to have a great family life. And yet they just won't take any steps to learn from people who have paved that path. I'm the pre-Houdini, right? Nobody knows who I am. So I say, hey, come have dinner with me or whatever. And 100,000 people, you know, four people will do that. And yet I get four or more emails every day of people wanting to become a best-selling author, wanting to become an entrepreneur, wanting to become a self-made millionaire. None of them show up for dinner. It's kind of weird. But anyway, back to Hardeen and Houdini. Houdini became famous because of a guy named Martin Beck. Now, Martin Beck was running a chain of theaters, Orpheum Theaters, and he saw Harry Houdini's act at like a local beer hall in Minnesota. This is 1899. And Martin Beck saw the potential, sent Harry Houdini a wire that said, hey, you come open my theater in Omaha, Nebraska. I'll give you $6. And after that act, we'll talk about hiring you for the season. Later, Houdini literally wrote on the bottom of this telegram from Martin Beck, this wire changed my whole life's journey. So what Martin Beck did was he told Houdini, listen, you know, you're a great all-around magician. And Houdini was. You've got great card magic and pulling ribbons and make the rabbits disappear, all the normal stuff. He even did some seance stuff, some mentalism. And then a part of his act was the escape routines. And Martin Beck said, listen, the thing you are best at is the escapes. So you need to get rid of all the other stuff that all the other magicians are doing and build out the mistakes. And all of a sudden, you know, what was would have been a 5-minute handcuff escape routine became all staged up into a 20-minute stage routine. Houdini could get out of the water torture cell in 1 minute. But he made it, you know, an hour-long production. Sometimes he would be sitting backstage reading the newspaper while everybody thought he was still inside the torture chamber. Anyway, Martin Beck said, listen, so you got to get rid of all the other stuff that you're good at, very good at, and only do the stuff you're great at, you know, expand that. And then it was Martin Beck that said, listen, you need to now take this thing that you're great at, the escapism, and you need to go do these challenges all over the world. So go into every city and challenge the police to come with their handcuffs and put them on you, and then you escape. Challenge the tough labor union guys to tie you up in ropes, and then you'll escape. Go into a big world capitals and shackle yourself and jump off the bridge into the icy water and escape. You know, you do all this stuff that's going to capture the attention of the press. And back then, my gosh, this day, everybody's got a camera in their hand, meaning their phone. We're all taking pictures all day. Back then, you know, photography, it was a tricky business and expensive and hard. So Houdini would run contests where, you know, he'd say, I'm going to hang upside down and escape, you know, in the town square. And I'm going to give, you know, a $5 prize to the best photo from the event. And they would run this contest in the newspaper. So now there's all these people showing up, taking pictures, all the pictures go in the newspaper. So it was Martin Beck that basically said, listen, do what you're great at only, and then go spend all your time promoting it and very, very little time actually doing it, you know? And so, you know, you can look at this from different angles. Why do we know of Houdini, not Hardeen? I mean, is it true that there was luck? You know, he's lucky because he ran into Martin Beck. Yeah. You could also say, well, you know, we make our own luck. He was persevering. He was still sweating it out in that beer hall after so many years of struggle. And that perseverance led him to Martin Beck. You could say that Houdini was maybe a bit more of a showman and knew how to do the press a little bit more than his brother. I don't know if that's true or not, but Martin Beck was really the life-changing event. And to me, so I don't have the one answer like, well, do we all just do what we do and hope we run into a Martin Beck? I mean, maybe. I think we all can benefit from accelerators. And I think the famous from the greats are often, there is an element of luck involved. But what does this mean for me, regular old me? What does it mean for you, very special you? I think it means let's look at what we do and all the things that I'm really guilty because I like all kinds of stuff. I'm curious about all kinds of stuff. And if we really want to break through, then we need to double down on that one thing we are known for, that one thing we are great at. Even if we're really good at other things, we need to specialize. And then, and this is so hard to hear, we need to spend, you know, 80% of our time promoting the stuff for free and 20% of the time doing the stuff. And I don't mean this exactly literally, and I don't know the percentages, but like, you know, if you're a consultant or an expert, you know, then we probably need to be giving away 80 to 90% of our stuff for free and selling 10% of our stuff. You know, my author friends don't want to hear this, but I don't know, I probably spent 10 to 20 times more time promoting my book, 15 Secrets, than I did writing the book, right? So it's like, yes, I can escape out of these handcuffs in a minute, but I'm gonna go spend 6 days for free promoting that show, promoting tickets to that 1 minute. So, you know, career-wise, I look at it this way. I'm not saying be a self-promoter. Nobody likes a self-promoter. What I'm saying is the Houdini secret is work on the long arc of your career and not just on your job. So many people tell me, Kevin, I am so overworked and overwhelmed. I'm so buried at work. I don't have time to get on LinkedIn. I don't have time to go to that networking event. I don't have time to write that 500-word article for my industry newsletter, my industry magazine. I don't have time to put together a speech and go volunteer to give a speech at the industry conference. I don't have time to reach out, you know, to influencers in my industry. I'm so busy. Well, you're busy at your job and you're not busy on your career. And I think, you know, here's the Houdini question. Why are there 40-year-old CEOs of Fortune 500 companies while there's a bazillion, you know, 55 to 65-year-old mid-level managers in those very same companies? Hopefully they're all where they want to be. But if there's any of those mid-level managers who are like, how come I'm not CEO? Well, maybe they were working on their job instead of working on their career. So you need to do both. So yeah, that's what I ramble around in my brain when I'm spending too much time on airplanes. Hey, switching over to some fan mail, I got this email from Liz and she said, my biggest challenge is having a small staff team and having to figure out how to balance my time between micro level program management and executive level functions. And you know, my response back, Liz, I'm with you. It's tough with small teams. For myself, you know, what I like to do is I stack my Mondays. Mondays are for meetings. I do all my one-on-ones with internal team members and do project reviews and all that on Mondays. That's like our huddle, our kickoff. And then I pretty much ignore them the rest of the week. And I focus on my own projects, getting my own work done, or external functions. I've heard many CEOs tell me that they believe they need to spend half their time outside of the building with customers and partners and influencers and analysts, and then half their time inside the building, you know, managing as well. The other way I think about it is sort of as a forced balance is I try to do my deep work in the mornings, I make in the morning, and then I meet in the afternoon, meetings, calls, etc. So I tend to, you know, do executive level function, deep work half the time, first half of the day. And then I micromanage, I project manage and stuff like that in the afternoons. Lastly, I got this one from Jetta, who wrote, I was just promoted as an employee engagement officer for an ESL company. It's the first time we have this department and I don't know where to start. I've been involved in engagement before, but it was already established. Now I'm the pioneer for this position, so it's really hard. Thanks in advance for your help. Okay, so Jetta, here's the thing. Within an organization, so systematically, then what you need to do is you need to measure engagement. You need to get your baseline. So every employee needs to get a survey, and you can steal the questions right out of my book, Employee Engagement 2.0, and put them into something like surveymonkey.com and deliver your own survey. It's not ideal because then if it's supposed to be confidential and if people see SurveyMonkey, they might think you're looking at their answers. So ideally you would work with an outside consultant or company to do that. I think there's employee engagement surveys also from the Society for Human Resource Management or SHRM.org, other places. Anyway, get that survey out there. And then each manager needs to get his or her own team results because they account for 70% of the engagement of their team. And then they take their results and share them with their team and the team's action plan. So if I get my results and I say, hey team, let's look at these results. You know, we're scoring, our team is high, you're rating us high on communication, that's great, high five, and our lowest score is growth. I'm not doing a good job when it comes to helping you guys to grow and develop. So wave your magic wands. What would that look like if I was doing a great job with you? If we were doing a great job, do you need to go to training programs? Do you want to do lunch and learns? Do I just sit down with you every 6 months to talk about your careers? Is it that you want more feedback? Like, what does growth mean to you? So this is a bottom-up approach to employee engagement. And you implement that action plan and then you resurvey. I like to survey every 6 months. Bigger companies, cheaper companies do it every 12 months. But that's the process. So it's just survey it, managers get results, managers action plan with their teams, and repeat. You will guaranteed increase your scores if you keep doing that and just make it a priority. You can't give the managers 100 priorities and only one of them is engagement and they get bonused on 99 items and not employee engagement. You know, their attention will go elsewhere. So as long as it's important and they know it, then those results will happen. Friends, I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you'll check out the free trial at leadx.org for the LeadX Academy. There is life-changing content in there, currently at a hard-to-believe small investment, and it's going to blow your mind in the weeks ahead. More on that very soon. And please remember, you are a leader, whether you want to be or not, because leadership is influence, and we're either leading in a bad direction or leading in a great direction. How are you going to lead this weekend?